The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, talk about sounds to inspire, uplift and heal. I'm sitting with a man now, and when I heard his album, his debut, The Alchemy of Living, that is exactly what happened to me. I was healed, uplifted, inspired, and welcome to The World Show, Keenan Mayer.
Hi.
Hi, Keenan. What a pleasure it is to have
Thank you
here. Yes. You know, Banda Banda sent me your album, and he said, check this out. I've produced this album. I was like, Banda, where is this man? As soon as I've got a gap, I'm going to get Keenan on my show.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for such a beautiful offering. So, Keenan, let's go back to the beginning, where you come from and when you first started playing music.
I'm from Johannesburg. I'm born and bred from Florida, and I spent my formative years in Bosmont, which is sort of like on the...
In the south.
In, the West Rand.
The West Rand.
And then we moved to Florida, and I think the music was... Being exposed to it from my dad and my mom.
Are they musicians?
They're not at all, but they like to claim that they are. I got it from them, which I don't dispute because I think they can sing. And like.
So it was them making music or playing music?
Playing music, playing love songs, beautiful love songs. I think they have good taste in music. And so I think from that, just being exposed to music like that. And then I think the first real experience was accompanying the school choir in St. Jesus Convent in 2009 at the Catholic school, at the Lindo Auditorium, actually. So on the Steinway.
Amazing.
This young boy playing and accompanying the choir when all of the other schools sort of had their teachers accompany. I was accompanying my school choir and my peers. And yes. that was really
So
amazing.
You weren't playing piano at that point?
So I was, but okay. But not in the sense that it was you know, like hectic.
Yes.
Classical, like we're doing Royal Schools exams. It was more of, and what I thank for my teacher was Mrs. Margaret Sneeman, by the way.
Yes.
I thank her because what it was a heavy emphasis on the oral tradition and oral tradition. Okay. So if we take that back into, my major was music psychology, and so a lot of what we dealt with was early child development and sort of memory systems, all of that. And so if we consider the time of my exposure to such training, which was 11 to 13, I would say. In that time period, what we have then is certain milestones in that we pair with the child's development and in the tuition of a child in music.
That's
so
beautiful.
At that time, and honestly, when I read this, I was just like, oh, okay, this this is super cool because it afforded me an advantage in that I could then sit at my instrument, hear something, and then sort of mimic it immediately. So I think that's where it started. It was really just being exposed in every single sense of, from choir music. In Bosmont, my grandmother took me always to like the Dardian male choir, which is very important in Bosmont, you know, and just the music education and music culture of that space.
Yes.
And just being exposed to that and then hearing it. And then I think, you know, subconsciously that plants a seed within you.
Yes.
And so I did audition at the NSA, and then it was just really just a flow of events where it didn't feel like work at all. And now I'm here talking to you.
Fantastic. As you're talking, you've brought up so many little things I wanted to talk about, and I found that so amazing. On the one point, I want to say thank you for crediting your teacher, because we don't actually realize the impact of what teachers have can change the course of our lives.
Yes. And I think at certain periods of times it was different teachers. So I said to Banda, it was like, so I obviously started with Mrs. Sneeman and then Miss Elise van Heerden, and then to Professor Joseph Stanford, and then Dr. Ben Schumann. And then the last point, I would say that it was a school of life after honors, where I was just like, okay, a lot of my guides are sending me people on my path that are aligning me for moments like this. And it was just given by and confirmed by different synchronicities. And so I think, like you say, always honoring the teacher. As a teacher myself, I taught for 3 years at Crawford, the babies. The youngest is 4 years old, super cute.
Did you teach music?
I did. I taught
beautiful.
Piano.
beautiful.
It is so amazing. Yes. Also, just and seeing that then, the ability to mold a young mind and mold the next pianist, the next Keenan,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
And that was just beautiful. So definitely, I think it's very important for me to give thanks
yes.
to the people who have crafted the sound, because it wasn't just, yes, I practiced, yes, I did the work, I really did the work and I committed myself, but I think I've been afforded unbelievable tutorship from my teachers, and that's, I'm just so super grateful.
Yes. Now that's beautiful, but it also shows, you know, you speak about this alignment that that happened, or the synchronicity, and I think that's also a testament to you and you know being on the right path, and almost those spiritual forces or yes. whatever that actually say yes, you are, it's a confirmation, you know, and that's also a testament to you and your openness towards that.
It didn't come easy. I think there was a lot of resistance in embracing, because I think when you accept that I'm going to be an artist, it's a heavy thing to accept, because it requires you to just completely break down. If I want to be truthful to whoever's engaging with my work, they must know this darkness. They must know that I feel like what they feel sometimes, where I'm like, I don't think I can get out of it today.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think I have the energy or the courage to even go out and interact with another human being. I don't.
Yes.
And that's very important for me. It's like, I was talking to my friend. I had a beautiful evening on Thursday evening. It was just, she had come from England, and it was a moment to reflect on, since the time I saw her and interacted with her at the beginning of the pandemic, and now to sit with her in my home, and also someone who has, since first year 2015, we had been, you know, friends since then, and to acknowledge that growth and be in that space, it was just so, so beautiful. And that alignment you speak of is very important, because if you are not completely claiming every single part of who you are, you can't say that I'm authentic or show up in a space and claim that space, you
yes.
know? And you must just really, 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 really hone in on the difficulty of your identity,
yes.
the complexity of perhaps my triggers, you know,
yes.
and being aware of them. That was where the discussion went. And I think I'm so grateful that I've got friends and family who open up that type of discussion and make sure that it's a safe space for me
yes.
to feel that way.
Yes.
And so I think the alchemy of living is that a moment of people holding so much space for me that I'm just blown away sometimes. I really
yes.
am, because I'm like, I always tell everyone, I'm so proud to be friends with the people I'm friends with, because they hold me to such a high standard, not to be like, you know,
not to be perfect,
but like, this is lovely, my friend, what is next?
Yes.
You know, and that's
yes.
a beautiful space
or
to be
you
in.
You could focus a little bit on that area,
totally.
Or
yes, yeah.
that's that
yeah, yeah.
that mm-hmm. honesty, that they mm-hmm. they respect you mm-hmm. enough mm-hmm. to, as you say, hold
yes.
you in that space.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. And be on. And I love what you've said, because even that song I played just now of Louis Mklanga, and I was thinking about it, because that album, Song for Nomsa, he released just after his beloved wife had passed from cancer. And I remember when you released that album, and I was listening to it, and I just cried, and it was so beautiful and so sad at the same time. And that brought to my mind that, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you're angry, you're in a bad space, you're in the best place you've ever been, as long as that authenticity
yes.
shines mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly something I find on The Alchemy of Living, this first album. I think on that note, because I almost just want to leave you to chat. I love the way you chat. But on that note, let's play a track off the album. And I've chosen to play Healing, and I think this song was the first song that caught me.
Oh, wow.
Tell me about the song and when it came about and how it came about.
So Healing was, so as I mentioned, at Crawford, so in between waiting for my kids to arrive, they always went aftercare, and it was just a hassle
yes.
to sometimes again. And I was just like, okay, I'm not going to really practice my repertoire. I'm really bored of Debussy now. And so in that moment, there was just this freedom of and it was when I'd just left campus and then gone to work. And in that space, I stole time at the instrument. Yes. To and it was a quiet space. It was, I loved teaching there because it was really quiet, and the school, general culture of the school is very open-minded, and yes, I really am that type of person, and so to be in that space was just beautiful. And so I really started just keying around on the piano, and the healing specifically, that theme came from 2017, you know, like, and really just motifs and developing those episodes or motives is definitely how now we have a full work. So I think healing specifically was a real collection of ideas and what it represents for me. And if we're looking at it now in the times that we're living, healing is so needed in every sense.
Well, this is you know, my thought was he definitely wrote that during the pandemic.
I did. And
you're saying it was actually seeded before. In 2017.
It was before.
But we needed it. You released it at the right time. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the song Healing. Keenan Mayer with me in the studio, and we're going to explore much more of this incredible debut, The Alchemy of Living. But coming up now is a track called Healing. Healing. Yes. Keenan Mayer on Kaya 959. How beautiful is that? I'm sure you all agree with me. Please share your love, appreciation, feedback, comments while we are chatting on The World Show. Keenan Mayer with me. Now, Keenan, we're talking about this, and obviously you schooled in classical music. Mm-hmm. That was your foundation. Where's the point at which classical led into jazz? Was it a transition or a shift?
Okay, I think my point of departure to answering that was, firstly, I was friends with the jazz folk at the University of Pretoria, which I am so grateful for, specifically Dr. Pruti Sapuru, because she was a very prominent figure in my career and my university career, and just showing up. And so she armed me really with profound understanding of jazz music, and also she contributed in the understanding of our lineage in terms of piano players in the country.
Yes.
Right. So on top of that, on top of the fact that I was in these circles of friends of who are now playing Begum Seleku to me, and like, I'm just like, girl, come on, I don't know any of this, but it was just a beautiful moment. And then I think to take that discussion further of perhaps where the real catalyst was my research, and that was when I had to, I was exploring protest music, you know, and being someone who took part in FISMA's fall, how moved I was by those protest songs, specifically at the UP manifestation, because we had that entire amphitheater, and if you've been to the University of Pretoria, and you know that amphitheater, and hearing the strong voices, and we weaponized our singing when they were weaponizing us with bullets.
Yes.
You know, we weaponized our singing, and that was untouchable.
Yes.
And that moment in my first year was so impressionable on me that when I then got to my honors degree, I was just like, this seems like it is part of me. I am deeply, 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 deeply passionate about reframing how we view ourselves as someone who is subjected to being in a conservative white institution, how I then imagine myself outside of that. And with talking on protest music, what was very important, and Trevor Manuel asked this as well, he's like, so I'm not going to talk about jazz. Yes. And I was like, I'm concerned more on the music that is cast in a hymn structure that was used in protest, you know.
Yes.
That's what I was concerned about. But then it also planted a seed of thought for me to explore that. I have to then scrutinize if someone is saying, yes, you're talking about the struggle, and a very pivotal figure talking about the struggle, and saying perhaps you are being a bit remiss if you do not then explore what the jazz archive is like.
Yes.
And at that moment, it was like, okay, it's within my range. I think it makes sense to me. based off of the friends I've had, the conversations that I've been a part of, and the circles I've occupied. And in that moment, it was just, again, a subconscious thing of adopting perhaps the sound and the tonal palette of what you hear perhaps on Komani, for example.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, so I think Komani for me, yeah. When in fact we're going to play it next. Uh-huh. But it's very much a song that's like steeped in South African musical tradition.
Yes, yes.
And it's like a bit of nostalgic, but it's making it really relevant for today. And you know, the other thing, as you're talking, I just remember Bri Hugh saying, ours was a musical revolution. And
Abdullah saying that South Africa is the only country who fought with four-part harmony.
Yeah, exactly.
And we did.
Exactly.
Now. And that was interesting, is to see the cross-generational link that at the genesis of apartheid.
Yes.
We were singing Nkosi Sikelela in a different setting. You know, Zinaya Barnes speaks of the Craddock 4 funeral when she speaks, you know, where they always started any gathering with Nkosi Sikelela. And it's such a sake. That song, that piece demands the utmost respect.
Yes.
Because of how it is imbued with the spiritual connotation and a plea. We were pleading. We are pleading. And so
It's a prayer.
Yes, it is a prayer.
It's a prayer.
I think that's the connection of where I had to then explore the archive and like, okay.
Yes.
So I'm now looking at this what it means for liberation repertoire. I have to then perhaps have a subcategory of liberation repertoire to then include, for example, Mama Miriam Makeba or Brayu Sikela, you know, and the activist Abdullah Ibrahim, who was very, and he, Mannenberg, gave us an example of what it means for a song to ignite something within you, and that's how it was used. And so we draw from that example and we reimagine it as the next generation. We carry that, but we cannot ignore our roots, and we cannot, I think there's so much value in claiming that.
That's what struck me about this, and even more so now that you're talking, is that I really appreciate that you, as a young person, I mean, were you even born when we had democracy? But so many young people are not acknowledging that very, very powerful role that the culture generally had in achieving democracy.
We can criticize that, and we can say that it is a problem of education.
Yes.
And we can say and bring it right down to the curriculum that we are
exactly
in that I've had to then, outside of all of this, I'm saying this because I believe in you, like you say, documenting our history.
Yes.
And it's so sad that I don't think that our generation is not taking the foreground in terms of, you know, speaking on our legacies, but also reimagining it. But I think there is a lot of work that is being done, you know, but I do say, and I mentioned the education thing, because I think history is so important.
Yes.
It's so important to know where you are from and make sure the history is not whitewashed. You know, and that's the whole discussion of decoloniality. On top of it being a change of system and systematic thinking.
Yes.
I think for me, if I look at decolonization, it links onto perhaps what the West Indian psychoanalyst Ibrahim Frantz Fanon speaks and how he holds decolonization, in that he says that it is deals with ownership and possession.
Yes.
And so ownership and possession and self-ownership. And that is what I've started
That's
to communicate.
It. That's
self-ownership. It. And if we look at how he's giving it to us, then racism or anything that is on those lines then becomes a technology of dispossession.
Yes.
And so my job, I think, and my alchemy, and the alchemy of living, is a testament. It is a symbol, a cultural symbol, and that's what I would like for it to be. A cultural symbol to reimagine what it means to be a young South African, what it means to be a South African, you know? And we can do that by scrutinizing our roots.
Yes.
We can do that by scrutinizing how I then show up in society.
Beautiful, beautiful. And again, you've brought up so many things. By the way, did you ever see that documentary, The Brother of Perfect Timing?
I have not.
Oh, you must please. Okay. I know it is online. Okay. It's a documentary on Abdullah, Ibrahim, but also there's a point where he explains about the breakdown of Marketplace, which is on Manenberg. And he sits at the piano and he plays certain notes to say, that's the note of the old woman. This is the note of the children running. So you actually see how he builds that picture.
So interpretation.
Interpretation again. And it's just... It's such an amazing, amazing documentary.
Interpretation is very important. Interpretation is important. I think I learned interpretation through studying Mozart, for example. The sonata in C minor, bum, 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 beep, bum. And it has this very cute little motif that sounds like a bird singing. Ka-ka-ka. And my professor is always like, that's a kokovit. And so, like you say, there's definitely, if we try, and as musicianship, perhaps this is a lesson on musicianship, is to really engage your imagination.
But now, this is also what I was thinking. So you're talking about decolonization and so forth. This is very interesting, you know, as you're talking for me as you're an artist, because studying in the classical tradition and, you know, you were steeped in Western traditions, and now to shift or to evolve or to, because I imagine you bringing that tradition with you as you're exploring more realms.
Yes, that's absolutely it. And that dichotomy is very interesting to explore, because it's like, oh my gosh, every part of me is just like, okay, Keenan, you're writing on decolonization. Yet all the people you have studied are colonial figures.
But maybe that's the point that you can, that gives you the you know, the credibility.
And so if we take that further, again, I mentioned Dr. Putisipur, she shared with me, she's like, read these articles, and it was on African pianism. And African pianism sort of speaks on quoting African textures, and I know saying African textures is so reductive, because we have, you know, there's a vast field of what we can draw from, but for this sake, she it speaks of merging idiomatic expressions of African music and then combining that then with the Western world. And that's then African pianism. And I would really locate the music there.
And
this is not what I'm saying. This is what the scholars in the field, this is what people have, as we've sat and we've listened and we've unpacked and we've really, really tried to get to the root of what the sound is, because then it sounds like someone, Moses Malalekwa, was in the healing spot. Ta, 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 ta. There was just like that beat. Like it just, it just does not sound like, wow, did you get there? And then again, I say, perhaps it is then that drawing on South African tonal palette. Again, I say this because it's very important. And then merging it together to create this.
This is absolutely beautiful. In fact, let's hear Khumani. And I see you on, you know, on online, on digital, it says Tsepo Tsotsetsi. So tell me about Tsepo's role in Khumani.
Okay, so Tsepo, firstly, I am so grateful for his energy in the music, because he brings such a different sound, and he brings, it commands attention when that saxophone enters. And so Tsepo is a peer from, well, not really a peer, because he was a bit older than me, but we are from the same alma mater, University of Pretoria, and the National School of the Arts. And to me, he's just, it's a beautiful, also the alchemy represents the fact that I've had people who I look up to in my work, and that to me is just a affirmation. That's, yes, you're on the right track. That's amazing. You have industry leaders who are there with you.
And your heroes.
Yes, exactly. So it was a moment of really just being so grateful and cognizant of the fact that, oh my word, I've watched this person since 2009, you know, all over, perform in how many concert halls in Europe? Beautiful concert halls in Europe, and like just the beauty of his spirit as well. If you know Tsepo, he's just this beautiful ball of energy. Like everyone's happy around him. And it's just, he's a leader in his field, and that's where I gravitate towards. And it's just beautiful for him to be on Khumani. And I think you really communicated what it was that was on my heart.
Thank you so much. Keenan Meyer, the album is called The Alchemy of Living. And coming up now, wow, check this one out. I'd love your feedback. Of course, you can do it on the World Show page on Facebook, The World Show with Nikki B. Otherwise, Nikki B Global on Twitter and Instagram. Almost couldn't wait till that end. So beautiful, Kaya 959. Keenan Mayer, and that one is Komani. Steeped in tradition, but absolutely relevant. The Alchemy of Living is the name of the album. How absolutely wonderful. Banda Banda, how did you and Banda come together and he came to be producing the album?
So Banda was a connection through a mutual friend, Langa Mavuso, as Nati, and so he introduced me. So I had did the shows in the Youngblood Gallery in Cape Town, which was the Alchemy of Living, and then in the Melrose Gallery I staged it as well. And Langa mentioned my name to him. No, you have to go watch.
Yes.
You have to go watch. And then I don't know, I think Banda's always busy, so he likes to be busy. And then in January of 2020, we then met at Rosebank and we had breakfast, and I had recorded the piano works already. Which he was like, you need to release this now. This is ready. And I was like, I don't know, I have a contestation to that. I would like the full band, and I wanted the vision that I had communicated to him to come to life. And so we met there and I played him the music, and he says he agreed to the story first of who I am and what I'm about, which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And then COVID happened, the pandemic, and I was just very unsure.
Yes.
Okay, is this ever going to happen? And then he's like, no, trust it. Trust that process.
Yes.
So we did. And in July, we had then started recording the first day.
July last year.
2020, 10 July, yes. We went into studio and Peter Oret recorded.
One of the best engineers. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's how it came about. Was really just a recommendation from Langa, who I'm so grateful for.
So I don't know why, but I've got this feeling, and you know, I don't know why, I could be completely wrong, but I've got this feeling that you had to narrow down the selection for this album, that you had more songs.
There were, but I think in the overall idea of the soundscape, the sound design and he's big on sound design, the soundscape that we were trying to create, I think some of them just did not match.
It wasn't for this project.
And perhaps for another one, and definitely you guys are getting more.
No, I'm satisfied, make no mistake.
But yeah, it was just a matter of sticking to the overall meaning and what.
Now, you've touched on this concept and given us some understanding of the Alchemy of Living and why you've called it that, or those elements. Mm-hmm. How would you explain it if I just met you and you said the Alchemy of Living means?
The Alchemy of Living means you honoring any transformation that you think you need to undergo.
Beautiful, beautiful. We have everything we need. Mm, it's what we do with those elements.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's all inside. I love what you said. Say it louder. And then tell me something else. It's such an interesting cover. Mm. And one of the things that struck me is this white-eyed thing. Tell me about the cover, because I think that it also is very much a part of the project.
It definitely is. So the cover, I would say, represents my ancestors and genuinely giving representation to that type of ancestry, and also making sense of it from someone who grew up in a Christian household. What does it mean then to then understand the intersection of where African spirituality comes in to play?
Yes.
And in that moment, and obviously I'm consulting, and what I wanted to do was wear my beads.
Yes.
I was very excited to wear the beads, and to the point where it was like, that is not how it's done at all. Thank you. And so I respected that from my healer, and I was like, thank you for the advice. And so we really sat down and just tried to understand how I could best honor the people I walk with.
Yes.
And in that, I then chose the blue and white to be representative of Ndao. Spirits,
yes,
of course.
Beautiful, beautiful.
In that moment, it was just really giving thanks to how my life has changed by understanding how I'm able to divine and also act as an interceder for my family and my friends and all of those who are brought to me, because there have been many. And so that's what the cover's about. And the moon is in astrology, represents the subconscious mind.
Yes.
And that for me was important.
Yes.
To, again, that knowing self.
Yes.
Continuously doing that type of work. And I've done that work. That's why I can say these things. That's why I can stand. Well, I think it's still going to be shown to me.
Yes.
But for the
but
now,
for this,
for
this,
now, this
yes.
moment, this present moment, that is what I understand of all of it. And the third eye at the back, which serves as a crown, is really just to impinge consciousness.
Beautiful, beautiful. I've always wanted to ask you that. Now, the next track, Ikigai. Oh, this track I've been wanting to play, I keep telling you. But this has got a whole nother feel. Mm. Tell me about Ikigai.
Ikigai was written during the lockdown. That one was written during the lockdown, definitely. And I was reading on, at the time, it was just a moment, again, of just, okay, I have so much time on my hands. I cannot go. To friends, I can't go. I can't go and you know, like, be social and like yes. interact. And so you have all this time now. You have to hone in. Let's be. And I was alone in my apartment. And
yes,
that moment was very interesting for me, because I had then started. You know, when you go in a rabbit hole of just reading and reading yes. and reading yes. and reading. And that was that moment. And so obviously, in looking again at my research and scrutinizing the findings once more, I still do it today. I'm just like, well, that's yes. a lot that came out at such a young age that I didn't understand that I was writing, actually.
Yes.
And so with that, I will, again, like you asked me about exploring, how did jazz come about? Again, exploring the archive, again, exploring the figures who made the sound, the South African sound. And I read the article on News 24, of Arts 24 rather, by Atiya Khan of Abdullah Ibrahim. And she just unpacked spirituality, his spirituality. And he speaks then of Ikigai. And I gravitated towards that, and I tried to make sense of it, because of my honoring of creating in the moment and that sacred state of flow that I always speak about. Because it was introduced to me in music psychology, where our lecturer was like, okay, do you understand flow? And I was like, no, perhaps when I'm washing the dishes, is that like flow? And only now I can say I have this understanding. And when I read that, it was like, oh, I understand this. I understand what it means that your music is only in that moment, and the alchemy will never, you'll never hear that again.
Yes.
That was that moment, you know?
Yes.
If I take it to a live show, it will be that moment. There will be elements, obviously,
yes.
from the record that will be, you know, brought in, and but it is always morphing. It's always evolving.
Exactly.
And so I read this about Abdullah, and I made sense of what he... And then going back to his music, listening to it. And then I titled it Ikigai, because it was... And Ikigai really is your reason for being. And that was
yes.
music in that moment. I couldn't deny it. There were a lot of questions. Do I want to do this? Do I want to go into another, you know, space? And when I got to this point of, again, accepting and relinquishing control of who I thought I had to be, when
yes.
it was spirit who decides, you know?
Yes.
And that moment was just that artistic expression
yes.
of accepting it. So Ikigai's reason for being, Japanese philosophy.
Yes.
And it really is about intentional living, alignment with
yes.
source. And
but there's also, for me, in the song, there's almost elements of North African or Middle Eastern touches.
Okay.
And that's what I love. So I'm very okay. interested.
So in terms of harmony, I think if we break it down in harmony, and this is what I meant by talking about that South African jazz philosophy, we're looking at the keys that we use.
Yes.
You know, the pentatonic scale
yes.
is very important in South African jazz music.
Yes.
And that's exactly, I play G-flat pentatonic is
yes.
the key I use for Ikigai. Perhaps it's the flute that's
yeah.
giving you that. I don't know. Perhaps.
Yeah, it's the flute, but there's
also...
Also
the manner in which the flute is played
the
is
manner,
not the
yes.
traditional. And we were going for that, because
yes.
Camilla Vane, she's from the University of Witwatersrand, and in the space, she's just very, you know, and that's what happens with classical musicians. Oh, I have to play it perfectly. You know, and in that moment, it was just like, girl, let us just relax.
And jazz is like, thank you for that mistake.
Let's go. And so, let's be, and it was not the traditional sound that I was going for. Yes. That clean, clinical sound of, you know, that you hear in an overture.
Yes.
No, I wasn't going for that. I wanted them to feel, based off of my history, my context, and also the instrument's nature.
Yes.
A wind instrument's so beautiful because you can manipulate a lot happening here, you know?
Yes.
And so that's, I think, perhaps that's what you are yearning. Not
you. You know, I'm looking at the time and I wanted to play like another three songs.
Oh,
but we're going to have to end with Ikigai because we've run out of time.
Okay.
I really wanted to play one of the songs, which I will play next week, which featured some vocals, but I'm not tonight.
Okay.
But tell us about who you worked with on those songs.
Mm. On the vocals?
On the vocals,
so,
yes.
Kyo Repete, Koloane, who is unbelievably
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes.
English Game Honor Ship.
Yes.
And Zoe Mudija.
Yes. I love that version of Okamu as well. Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. And then, I think that's just those two.
Yes. But Keenan, thank you for such an incredible album. We're going to end with Ikigai. Mm. I wish I had another hour we could carry
this
on
is
chatting.
So much fun.
This will have to be like the first chapter of Visiting the World Show.
Yes.
And I can't wait for your live performances. So please let us know when things do open up.
Something special.
Yes, it's gonna. I know. I can't wait. It's gonna be a total trip to come and see you
I'm
play.
So
yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Colin Curry is up. I'm gonna end with Ikigai from Keenan Mayers, The Alchemy of Living. You see, I told you this album is on another level. Let us know the love. Catch him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Keenan John Mayer, I think you're
on Twitter, yes.
On and Twitter then, and Facebook.
Yes, and then on Instagram, Keenan Mayer Piano.
Keenan Mayer Piano. Check it out. Give him your love. I'm certainly so excited about this album. So whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep on shining. And of course, keep it Kaya 959.
The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.